Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our second conference call of the year. And we have a bunch of stuff to go over tonight, so I've muted every single one of you, and I only ask that you wait until I get done with a particular topic, and then if you have a question, you just hit star 5, and on the control panel, I see that you've raised your hand, and I will unmute you to take the question. If I ask, are there any questions, and no one responds, I'll move on to the next topic. If anyone feels the need to interrupt, raise your hand, and we'll see what happens. So, tonight I would like to start by saying a great thank you to lovely Leah, the lady who does Lovely Leah and the Full Moon every month. Leah is probably the only person who I am aware of that's actually older than I am, and yet every month she seems to get it together and does this for the rest of us. Also, Leah needs everyone's prayer because Leah has a very tough time with the diet, and as we all know, some of the parts, the diet is a terribly key thing of importance. So with that being said, does anybody have any questions about lovely Leah and the full moon? Star 5 if you have a question. If not, we're going to move on to the next. No questions. So many of the new people always ask me, well, what happened to this person? And what happened to that person? And I always say to them, well, not everyone has the commitment that some of us have taken upon ourselves. And it appears that almost everybody, when they get well, is going to move on. Now, I have absolutely no problem with it. It seems to trouble some of the new people more than some of us old-timers. Because to me, it's like children in a family. When the kids grow up, well, they move on with their lives. And certainly, it's not quite like that here, but the same feeling prevails with inside of me. When people get better, they're not obligated to stay here and do anything. There are the few chosen ones who have decided to stay and help, and for that, I will ever be indebted to them. And for those who leave, hold absolutely no ill feelings. God bless you. My purpose is to help you all well, and once you get well, what you do is, that's up to you. So, anybody have any questions about where anybody went? I don't see anybody hitting star 5, so then we're going to move on to patience. Patience, I don't think, is spoken enough when it comes to the sum of the parts, which is tonight's topic subject. Patience is so important, and it's not something that our parents stressed as we grew up, in my opinion. But I stress to all of you that those who do not have patience most certainly wind up staying on the website treating themselves longer than those who do have the patience to do this the way it has been laid out for you. The sum of the parts. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, the sum of the parts can be taken two ways. It can be taken S-O-M-E, means a few of, a couple of, as many as you'd like, whatever you want, or the sum, S-U-M, which means all of, every facet. What are the facets? Well, The facets start by reading the FAQs until you can recite them to memory, because our FAQs are the basic guideline on how to get well, how to do it, when to do it, and what not to do so that you don't wind up here staying longer. Now, how do we know not what to do? Well, there's only one way to know what not to do, and that's unfortunately by doing it. Well, every reason that you could have for staying on the website longer and trying to heal yourself, I committed those. I did that. That's why we see today that some people are now getting well in a year or less, where it took me 18 months. It takes people with multiple co-infections longer, and it takes people who can't do this the way it's laid out even longer. So, if you take those FAQs and you read them and you look at them and you look in the mirror when you're reading them and you go, I can do this, I can do this, and where you have problems, you ask for help, I think that is going to be better. Rest. Boy, nobody wants to ever rest in the beginning because they're so anxious and so frightened. But rest is so important. There are time frames when the body automatically heals better than at any other time in the day or night. One must learn to make the adjustments to this time frame during your illness to maximize your healing potential, taking the protocol the way it's laid out. Well, that's a good one because so many people want to tweak the protocol, which we found in the past really doesn't help, unless they have issues that necessitate additional or subtraction from the basic protocol. Time frames. Well, man, not everybody can live on the same time frame that I did or that most people do. But how do we address the time frame? We spaced everything out. And if one must make an adjustment in the time frame, as long as they keep the spacing of the hours, everything should be fine. That should help lots of people who work odd shifts and different times. Just keep the protocol. If you don't start it at 7:30, you start it at 9:30 in the morning. Well, then everything gets pushed back according. Time frame. Oh, let's see. Ah, I remember when I thought Peter was starting to get well. I would call him in the morning and wake him up and ask him if he went out for a walk and talked to the animals. Well, I know at the beginning he thought I was crazy. And then eventually he realized that exercise, once one starts to get well, is an important part of the whole process. I am in the best physical shape since 1980 when I got run over by a drunk. That's a long, long time ago. I get a ton of exercise. I get a ton of rest. I still take the basic protocol on a daily basis. I eat. Oh, diet. Oh, my God. For us older folks, you know how hard it is to give up certain foods after we've eaten them for 55 or 60 years? For you younger folks, well, I try to look at it like this. I gave up Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream for over 5 years so I could get better. And I gave up my favorite chicken parmesan for 5 years so I could get better. So I altered my diet when I was ill to have the best possible chance to get better. Do I keep that diet today? Well, not exactly the same way as I did when I was ill. Do I eat ice cream every day? No. Do I eat ice cream every week? No. But do I eat ice cream once in a while? Yes. Do I eat chicken parmesan every day? No. We better not go any further because I might get caught in a little white lie. But what I'm saying here is that whatever you're doing now, whatever sacrifices you have to make for a year, for 14 months, for 18 months, it's not going to be forever. It's only going to be in the time frame that you need to recapture your health. All these things are so important. And I'm sure I've forgotten something. So I'm going to now ask people, if you've got questions, ask them. And Peter, if I forgot something, stick your hand up so you can tell people what I forgot. Peter, did I forget anything?
No, I think you hit most of the main things, especially the patience and the teaching me the value of exercise once you move and limp while you exercise. Patience, some of the parts, working there, emotional, got to work on stress. Stress releases cortisol. Immunity shuts down.
Okay, I forgot about stress because I don't suffer from stress. Okay, so for me, that was never a tough thing. I am such an anal person when it comes to cleanliness. Whenever I would get nervous, I'd get out the vacuum and the Windex. I don't suffer from stress. So talk about stress, Pete.
Well, it's actually what people need to understand is it's physiological to some degree with us. The amygdala in the brain, the fear-flight mechanism in the brain, releases a hormone.
Yeah.
And you know how a hormone is always off with this disease. But let me finish now. It releases hormone called cortisol, and cortisol then is the fight-flight hormone, and immunity is not online when that happens. The body's in a fight-or-flight mode. So people that remain in a constant state of stress have the cortisol spigot turned on all the time, and imagine healing the immune system's in the coffee room on break reading paper after paper after paper. So you've got to understand it that way. You've got to understand it as hormonal, and you've got to find a calm anticipatory state and try to remain there because that's when healing takes place, and that's why sleep is so important too.
Okay, now I'm going to unmute John, and I'm going to ask John to talk about John? John?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything you think I forgot?
No, I thought you did a marvelous job.
You know, John, I'm going to probably talk the least about religion amongst the people that are helping me all the time. But a little religion really doesn't hurt at all when you have this disease because it's such a difficult thing to take upon oneself to feel that they're going to do this all by themselves. I did not do this by myself. I was alone, yes. There was no website. There was no one to talk to. But when I allowed God to help, when I said I'm not capable of figuring all of this out, is when I did get the help. And I was able to figure out the last couple of things that were missing from the original formula. So I think that a little bit of love and praise to someone who you may not be able to see takes a lot of responsibility off your own shoulders.
That's the truth, buddy. That's the truth. And it's interesting that so many people who have seen their health transformed and gotten their lives back have also undergone kind of a renewal spiritually as well. And that's a wonderful thing.
Okay, so honest to God, kids, I'm going to open the conference call because I didn't think anything could get done this quickly. So we're going to take calls on anything anyone would like to ask. What you have to do on the phone is you have to hit the star button and the number five key, and it shows me that you have a question, and I'll unmute you. We have no questions. Aha, thank God. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I tried to chime in earlier in the call. I remember a couple calls back you had mentioned that you were considering updating us all on Monica and Teresa. And then when you were talking about where have people gone, I know there's some people that are interested, as am I. Can you update us on that?
Well, when I was talking about, where have people gone, it was specifically Monica and Teresa, okay? Because Monica and Teresa were some of the first warriors who were willing to, on a weekly basis, and in Teresa's case, on a biweekly or every three-week basis, they were able to talk about everything they went through as a gift to the future generations. But when Monica and Teresa got well, they didn't choose to stay here, Peter, and nor did they have to choose to stay there, and nor am I disappointed in any way. As I said, it's like children when they leave home because they have now their lives. Hey, these two kids did more for this website way back when than I could ever imagine, and I'll be ever grateful. They're gone.
Do they remain well? Do they remain well, Mel? Are they still well?
Hey, the last time I talked to both of them, they were fine. Okay? As I made a joke many times, Teresa got better and was out hunting for a husband, and Monica got better and went about her life. Monica, you know, has a full-time job, a part-time job, just busy, you know? And
that's good thing.
As we know, Peter, okay, now we'll talk about some numbers here, okay? Last year, boys and girls, this website served 998,000 pages. That's 2,000 pages shy of 1 million. We really don't know how many people came here. We're figuring between 50 and maybe 365,000 people last year. Okay? How many people talk? Very, very few. Why? Well, the best I can figure is affiliation with the website by using all your names can one day get you in trouble when you're out there trying to get a job because they put your name in, and if it comes up related to Morgellons, it might be more difficult to get a job. So a lot of people don't want to ever go through anything like that. Not only do they not give their last name, which we won't allow on the website to protect you all, but they don't even usually give their real names. And then so few who choose to talk based on how many people come here, it's infinite. It's the number is 0.0000.03. I mean, it's crazy. If you have 50 or 100 people talking and yet there is 5 to 25,000 people here every month, there's nothing you can do. You can't make more people talk. I'm glad that people are reading and getting the information. I'm glad that people are getting well, even if I never hear who they are. But in the first 2 months of this year, we just served 250,000 pages in 2 months, which is about an 18% increase over last year in the first 2 months. That's kind of scary to me because that means now we're reaching pandemic proportions. And like I said once before, I am pretty much aware that this disease is on every continent on this planet except the Antarctic. So it's beyond comprehension how intense it is unless you're privy to sit here and look at the numbers that only administrators can see. And I've sent you the numbers, Peter, a time so that you could share with others the reality. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's very correct and very very alarming. But good to know that we're serving that many people, whether they talk or not. It's wonderful.
Right.
Because I believe this to be the only way back from much disease that we see in the world today, not only Morgellons.
No,
beautiful thing, Mel. Congratulations, Mel. Congratulations.
No, I always tell you I don't feel like that. I feel bad that more people are getting ill. Okay, boys and girls, are there any other questions this evening? Because if there are, now's a good time to ask them. We're taking questions on anything. All righty. 202, is that you, Miss Day? 202, I got to unmute you. 202, come in, please.
That's me. I'm here.
No, I know. Say hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi, everyone. I had a question about fruit. I don't know if I'm just, I couldn't remember. I remember reading, I think it was Peter, who said that we should introduce fruit at 6 months. Could we introduce it earlier for kids if they're not really having a lot of symptoms? I'm wondering if my son can have maybe an apple maybe once a week or something.
Okay, well, fruit is a dietary subject, and when I think about fruit, I think about, well, what fruits are productive? Well, we know that blueberries and strawberries are the best natural antioxidants on the planet. So I would say that let's try to introduce things that we know that are going to be beneficial. We know that lemons in water, although lemons are acidic, create alkaline properties. I love pineapple. Pineapples can be purchased for $2.78, a whole pineapple, at Walmart. See if they like pineapple. That's another fruit that I think would be okay. But it's like everything. It's like some of our mantras. Mantra number 2, everybody's body is different. And mantra number 4, slow and steady. So if you're going to introduce anything, including an apple, okay, don't give them the whole apple. Give them a piece of apple the first time, okay, then a little bit more the next time, and see what the body tells you. The body will respond in the way that the body is made. So if he's can handle one kind of fruit, well, maybe someone else might not, their body might not handle that the same way. So all we're saying is strawberries, blueberries, lemons, pineapple, things like that, when you introduce them, just do it carefully, slow and steady.
Okay. That's it.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Okie dokie. Go ahead. 775.
Hey, this is Melissa. Hey, everybody. This question is for John. In treating the animals, I know that most of the forum says MMS. I've listened to some of the back conference calls, and I've heard others giving their animals part of the actual supplements. Do you happen to know what those parts of the supplements that were given to the animals?
No, I'm actually not sure which supplements the people have been giving their animals, but it certainly would be safe to give most of our supplements to an animal, dose adjusted for the weight of the animal. Certainly the flora would be a good thing, right off the bat. And then, if they're dealing with, if you know that an animal is dealing with infestations of parasites, then the parabolish would certainly be a good place to start.
And I wonder how you would go about adjusting the dosage for the weight.
Typically an adult would when we build a product around, to aim at an adult, we would assume that the adult would weigh between 150 and 200 pounds. So if you take the dose that you see on the bottle and the animal is half the weight of, typical adult, you just give them half the dose.
Okay. okay? Because mine's like 8 pounds.
Right. Get an eyedropper.
So yeah, what you're going to do then in that case is if you're in the case of capsules, you'll just be opening a capsule and emptying a part of the capsule into their food.
Okay. And so.
All right. Let me ask Pete. Hey, Pete, you talk to lots of people. The only thing that I know for sure, and I've seen it over and over again, was MMS in water and Revolution. Is that correct?
Yeah, Deborah Beals had a lot of luck with that. Yeah, that's my understanding, too.
Okay.
The only thing I think people need clarified, Mel, is that just like John clarified the dosage for animals, I think you need to clarify mixed or unmixed with the MMS and how many drops for animals in the same way, if you could.
Well, with the MMS for animals, it's always been just one drop of that, one drop of citric in a bowl of water. Animals typically drink, but one drop is all they need. That's all they've ever needed.
Yeah. I did not know that because I don't have an animal.
Right. I didn't have any animals during my illness, but, you know, I talked to almost everybody, Pete. So I've talked to all the animal owners, and that's why you see MMS and Revolution many times because I made them all put it in there because that's what they told me they were using.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that a couple of the people have added some of the supplements, and since it's going to be a conference call that is taped and recorded, when people hear it, they may, you know, we may start, you know, a new thread, you know, called Additional Supplements for Your Pet. So that's where you would put it if you have some advice for Melissa and other pet owners. How's that, Melissa?
That's awesome. Perfect.
All righty, guys. Let me get on with the next question. Are you done, Melissa, for now?
Yeah, no, one more question. I change out his MMS water every day, sometimes twice a day. Is that the correct way to do it?
Well, you know, it's like I've told people who I think do a little too much with the animals, please don't hurt the animals. I mean, hey, whatever works for you, if you feel the need to change it because dust or hair gets in it, a lot of people like that, okay? So that's okay. He's only going to drink what he wants, and it's not like you're giving him more than one drop. He's only going to drink so much from the bowl before you change it, and he's only going to drink so much after. He's not going to drink two bowls of water, is he?
No, I was just thinking, you know, as far as how long the MMS stays good in the water.
Let me tell you something. Everybody has a different theory on how long MMS really stays good. But my experience is if you put it in a spray bottle and you spray it on an open lesion and the spray bottle's a day old and it still burns, it's working. So I wouldn't worry about how long it's going to last, especially if you're changing the water more than once a day. That good?
Yep, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to go down to 609. 609, that must be Southern Cal somewhere. 609, come in, please. You had a question. Let me unmute you. That might help. 609, are you there?
Yes, New Jersey. It's Kimmy.
Oh, okay. Forgive me. 609 is New Jersey. I forgot. Yes, I should know that because I played in the Flyer organization.
Uh-huh.
What question?
All right, so I had a couple questions for John. John, you know my blood work just recently came back, and I discussed a few things with you. The first thing I want to know is it did come back high cholesterol, but slightly higher than normal, nothing too insane. I find, after speaking with Melissa and doing my own research, that high cholesterol seems to be something that is part of this disease. Is there any explanation for that?
No, I'm not sure that. I'm not sure that my experience has been over the years interacting with so many people that are dealing with Morgellons that I wouldn't say that that's been a common factor, that they had high cholesterol. Although it's certainly a very common factor in our country because of our diet. But then again, I mean, that depends on how you define high cholesterol, because what they claim is high cholesterol today was not considered high cholesterol 20 years ago. And, you know, that's all a part of this medical establishment's desire to market and profit from drugs that may or not be needed. I mean, the fact is your body manufactures cholesterol in the liver because it's such an absolutely necessary nutrient for so many processes that go on in the body.
Okay. And then, like, I'm not too worried about it because, I mean, it was just, like, 2 or 3 points over what's considered normal. Now, I did mention with you briefly through the email that they did come back with slight anemia, and I know that you recommended the iron glycinate form. Is this going to, I know iron is a big part of Morgellons, is this going to feed my Morgellons? Is it safe for me to take?
Well, if you're anemic, then you know, your doctor's going to recommend you take iron. And that's important because you can't carry enough oxygen in the blood, you know, to fuel the body without adequate iron.
Right.
What I was saying is, if you're going to take iron, that the iron that is going to work best in terms of not constipating you and so forth is an iron glycinate. As opposed to, you know, a lot of folks will just use any old form of iron, and most of those are very constipating.
Right. I'm just afraid that if I do take it, I know that my body needs it, but is it something that the Morgellons is going to steal from me, and I'll be back staying anemic?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think if you are anemic, that you do want to take some iron. Because, like I said, your body's ability to oxygenate your cells is compromised when you don't have enough iron.
Okay. All right.
Is that it, Melissa? You good for now? Guess so. Are there any other questions out there? Okay, then I'm going to say, Peter, is there anything you'd like to say tonight in conclusion?
I would just like to say about the iron issue, as usual, I believe you get your iron from your foods. So if you're anemic, you know, it means your hematocrit number, which is the amount of red blood cell in comparison to serum, is not what it should be. And I think the best way to get the red blood cell count in your blood up is through food. So I would eat iron-rich foods, and I would also just let you know that, Melissa, that this disease works with the iron in our blood, and that's why we have respiration issues, as John had said. So, but I just got to tell you guys, you know me, food. Get your iron through food and avoid supplements. We get all – that's mixing protocols to me. We get adequate support in that area from the wellness protocol and the Logos products. I just believe that food is the answer to that, as well as many other things. Thanks for letting me chime in on that, Mel.
No problem, Peter. John, is there anything that you'd like to say before we ask one last time about questions?
No, buddy. I think you've done a great job with the call tonight.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if anyone feels I monopolized tonight, but I wanted to get a lot of stuff in that I've wanted to say for a while, and for some reason these conference calls just most of the time run really, really long, so I figured I'd just push the pace. I do see another question here, so let me go ahead and say hello again. Go ahead, 202.
Hello, it's me again. Okay, so I asked this question before, and about the molecular silver, you said that it's taken a little bit differently than the sovereign silver that we have. I have, like, if I have a gallon of it, can you tell me how to take it? I didn't get that.
Okay, so wait a minute now. You still have molecular silver? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I ordered it. I got it from Dennis before you changed it. So I have a gallon of it, and I've never opened it.
Okay, so I told you that I loved molecular silver, and I love even sovereign silver more. The reason we switched was because Dennis switched the silver he was making, and that was no good. That was not going to work.
So this is no good. Then this is what I got, the last one that he was making. So this is no good, so don't take this one.
If it's, how do you spell it?
It's with a C, not an S, the silver.
Oh, okay. I would suggest that you just see if you can get it returned. If not, I would just move on to sovereign silver.
I have. I've never taken it. I've always taken the sovereign silver, but I had already ordered it when I ordered my MMS. And it's just been sitting here. So I wanted to make sure not to
Well,
take
what
it,
I would
so.
Do is keep it in the fridge, and God forbid you run out of the other, you'll have something to back it up for a temporary issue.
Okay. Is it good for anything else?
Refrigerator. And God forbid you run out of your other silver by accident, you'll have something temporarily.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not telling use it. I'm telling you to keep it around as a precaution for running out of the other by accident.
Okay. Great.
Okay, because for me, money is precious. I can't waste any. So I would save it in the fridge in case I ran out and needed a day or two of something different. Anything else? Okay. Any more questions this evening? Speak now or forever. Oh, there's a question. I know who this is. Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Hi, everyone. It's Shari. I have actually a question for John or anyone really who can answer this question. I'm interested in possibly starting the Parabolish next week after the full moon. And I wanted to know, with the protocol, because I'm pretty much religiously taking the protocol and on the time schedule, how would the Parabolish fit in there? Would I take it with the Candida rib at 10:30 and the MSM?
Well, John is unmuted, so go ahead, John.
Yeah, you can take it along with the other antimicrobials here that you're taking.
Okay, so it could be taken, like, say, with all the rest of my morning pills, or would I take it, like, at the 10:30 mid-morning pill, separate from breakfast and lunch?
I think you're gonna you're probably gonna want to take it with your food.
With my food, okay.
Yeah.
So with the breakfast pills, and then I think it's two times a day. So then it would also be with maybe the dinner pills or the.
Yeah, I think you'll tolerate it best that way.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, we'll see what happens. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, Sherry. God bless you, dear.
God bless you. I love you guys.
We love you too.
All right. Are there any other questions? Well, then, God bless each and every one of you. Don't forget to take a look at those FAQs if you're not feeling up to snuff. Check out and see if there's anything that you might have gone awry on. Know that if you need me, all you have to do is shoot me an email, and I'll get to you ASAP. Good night, God bless, and good health.